right, brethren, John 15. The Lord Jesus here is speaking to each one of his apostles. And he's speaking to each one. He's speaking to them collectively, but he's speaking to each one personally. And this is a word to each one personally. Verse 7, he says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now he's speaking to them all, but he's speaking to each one in particular. This is a word to each one personally. He said back in verse 3, he said, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken to you." Now has he made you clean by his word that he's spoken to you? Has his word quickened you to life? Has his word cleansed your conscience from dead works so that you see that there's no way you can be saved by anything that you've done, that Christ alone is your righteousness? Has he cleansed you within? Has he made you to have no confidence anywhere but Christ? Your rejoicing is Christ only. Christ only. Do you believe that apart from him, you can do nothing? That's what he said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he's speaking to each one in particular. Then this is his promise of grace. If this is so in you, this is his promise of grace to his true branches. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, if you abide, if you remain and continue in Christ, continue with his gospel abiding in you, his doctrine in you, if you continue in Christ, trusting him, believing him, and Christ's words are your life, you need Christ. You need his words more than your daily bread. If you remain in Christ and keep his word, obey him, that's your desire and that's the endeavor of your heart truly, is to obey him. That's what you want above everything else, to obey Christ and glorify him. Only you know that. Only you know if you believe on Christ and have a new heart to obey him. And not only by the Holy Spirit. Some men, we can discern, do not. They do not believe him. Some we can discern, their lives are very moral. But they don't believe Christ. They don't believe the gospel. They despise the gospel of God's grace. They despise the message that gives Christ all the glory, takes all the glory from man. Some men we can discern. Other men we can discern who hate the gospel and whose lives are just obvious that they hate the gospel. They just live for the world and there's no desire to even hear the word of God. Some pretend to be religious and their lives are very moral, but they hate the gospel. Others, it's obvious they hate the gospel and their lives are just immoral. There are those who profess to believe Christ, who profess to trust Christ only, and who love the gospel, and who appear to keep his words. They want to please him. They want to honor him. And we see them, and we receive them as brethren, and we do not doubt them. But we don't know another man's heart. We don't know another man's heart. Others we receive as brethren who are not as fruitful. It's obvious they're not as fruitful. They have various shortcomings and failings and sins, and it's obvious. But they profess to believe Christ, and by all accounts, they appear to want to serve Christ, and they're faithful to the gospel and to their brethren. And we receive them as brethren, and we don't doubt them. And we don't know any man's heart. We don't know their heart. Sometimes brethren that are faithful and appear faithful in every way suffer severe trials and severe falls. And sometimes you might wonder. Sometimes they may even appear that are leaving the gospel. And yet we don't doubt them. We continue to pray to the Lord to keep them. And whatever we can, speak a word of grace and trust them to the Lord, because we don't know a man's heart. But Christ speaks this to each of his people personally, and he makes you know who, and these other brethren I'm talking about that profess to believe him, he makes his people know, each one in our heart to know. And he says, if you abide in me, you personally, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Now I know when people hear that, they start wanting to look at them, at their doings. He said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. In the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. John, look over 1 John 3. This is a word to God's people personally. Personally. Listen to this. 1 John 3, verse 19. 1 John 3:19. And hereby we know. We personally know of our own selves, about our own selves, by God's Spirit. We know that we personally are of the truth and shall assure our own hearts before Him. That's what He's talking about. For if our heart condemn us, He's not talking about somebody else's heart, is He? Nobody else's heart condemns you. Well, they might, but I mean, He's saying here, your heart. If our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God personally. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And He, personally, that keepeth His commandments, dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. That's what Christ is saying in our text. And hereby we know, personally, that He abideth in us. This is how we know personally He abides in us. It's how you know personally. It's how your brother knows personally. How do we know? By the Holy Spirit which He's given to us. The Holy Spirit's made you know Him. Look over at 2 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7. I'm sorry, First Timothy. I can't remember where I wrote this down. I can't find it now. Sorry. Well, turn with me back to our text. Let's go back to our text. wrote this down. I'm sorry. Go back to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. I want you to see this. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's speaking into of you personally. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. He saved us and then he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now watch this. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And this is what our Lord is saying. If you abide in him, if you abide in me, Christ said, you know this by his Spirit. You know if you abide in Christ and his words abide in you. Here is his sure promise of grace right here. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that's a promise, isn't it? That's some promise. You ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now first, remember what Christ said to us before this. We saw this Sunday. He said in verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now hear that personally. You that believe him, hear that personally. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now if Christ has made you clean by his word, then you know personally, you know this personally, you know he alone is your life. You know this. This is what faith believes. Faith believes Christ is my personal righteousness. And I'm not saying that as the world says, make Christ your personal Savior. He will make him your personal Savior. He will make himself your salvation. He makes us to know personally he's all your salvation. He's all your righteousness. He's your sanctifier in whom God chose you and set you apart in him, who by his blood on the cross separated you from all others by perfecting you by his blood, and by who the Spirit comes and makes you separated unto him. So he's all your sanctification. He's your sanctifier and your sanctification. You know him. You know it. You know it. And he alone has produced this fruit of faith in you, and he's produced a heart of love in you. He's made you see his love for his people, that great love whereby he laid down his life for his people, and he's put this love in your heart for him so that you want to please him, you want to obey him, you want to keep his words abiding in you, obeying his word. That's what you want to do. That's your heart. That's your heart. And it's all by him speaking the words. It's him making his words life unto him. So by him, we know we abide in him. And we know he abides in us. And his words abide in us. And he's going to keep his words abiding in his people. He's going to keep you obeying him, obeying his commandments. It's the desire of the new heart. It's the desire to continue abiding in him and to continue obeying every word our Lord Jesus spoke to us. That's what your heart is. That's my heart. That's your heart, because he's spoken his word in our heart. We want to grow in faith. We want to grow in love. We want to grow in all the fruit of the Spirit. That's the heart. And you seek it all in him, because it's all from him. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." If he has really given us life, we know him. We know that. We know Christ is our life, and we know his words are eternal life. Jeremiah 15:16, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Every born-again child of God has this understanding. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he's able. I'm not able. I'm not able. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. But he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. And this is our hope. He said, "Now you abide in me, and my words abide in you." And if this is so, secondly, look at the promise he makes here. Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Now, this has been greatly abused. You know here, he's not saying you just ask whatever temporal blessing you want, he's going to give it to you. You know that's not what he's saying. I don't even have to go into that. He's talking about spiritual blessings, because what he just told us is that it's his will, it's the Father's will, that his people bear much fruit. But there is a great difference between bearing fruit and being the producer of fruit. We're not the producer of any fruit. We just bear the fruit. Like the branch bears the fruit produced by the vine. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. And without Christ, we can do nothing. So he teaches us, rather than begin to speak about fruit, what does he do? He says, ask him. Do you see this? Without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask of me whatsoever you will, whatsoever you will, and it shall be done to you. Now, child of God, let me ask you this. You that know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you this. What do you will? What do you will? Our Lord taught us what to ask. He taught us what to ask. Go over to Matthew 6. He taught us what to ask. And this is what we will. This is the will of everybody in whom Christ abides right here. This is our will. Matthew 6, verse 9. He says, When thou prayest, enter into your closet. And he says, "And when thou shalt shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like to them. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Now, he's given us a pattern. You know this. He's not saying you have to pray this, but he's given us a pattern. Now, listen to what he said. This is the will of his children right here. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, into trial, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the will of his people. He said, you ask what you will. What do you will? You will for his will to be done, don't you? You want his name to be hallowed. You want to be hallowed in you. You want to be hallowed in your brethren. You want to be hallowed in the earth. You want him to reign. You just need whatever provision he's giving you today. That's all you need. Just my daily bread. And more than that, the bread of his word. The bread of his word. I need you, Lord, to help me to forgive. And Lord, to grant forgiveness from others for me. And I need you, Lord, to lead me, deliver me. That's the will of his people right there. And if we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, listen to this, 1 John 5:13. And John's just repeating what our Lord said. He said, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, is that personal? That's what I'm saying. Isn't that personal? He's saying, I'm writing to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, we're asking according to his will. He said he'll hear us when we ask according to his will. And we know if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Go over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now, the same will that was in our Savior. And then the will that was in our Savior is the will he puts in the heart of his people. It's by his Spirit. Now, look at this. Matthew 26, here was the will of Christ right here. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul is greatly troubled, and here was his will. He went a little further, Matthew 26:39. He went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That was his will right there. Verse 42. He went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. God the Father sent an angel, and he strengthened him. And he went to that cross, and he laid down his life for his people, and he perfected us by his one offering. His will was the will of his Father. Now, we can ask for specific things. We can ask for specific things, but faith's confidence is Christ. And like he said, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. He already knows. And our confidence is Christ, and our confidence is that Christ knows what's best for us. He knows best how to give it. He knows best when to give it. And so our heart is this. Whatever it is we ask, and we want, we're wanting spiritual blessings. That's what we want. But here's our heart. No matter what we're asking, not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that your heart? You want his will done. His will's perfect, and what he's going to do is going to be perfect. And I don't know. I don't know. He knows. And anything else, if we're not asking his will to be done, and that's really what we're resigned to, anything else is from mixed motives. It's just like when James said concerning wisdom, it's so of every spiritual blessing he gives. Listen to what James said. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. He's not going to upbraid you. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That means having your confidence in him. That means really coming to him, desiring his will be done. That's what he means. Without Christ being our only confidence, brethren, anything else that we're asking, if we're truly not asking and wanting God's will to be done, then we're just asking amiss. We're asking to consume it on our own lust. And that's so. The confidence of true faith is Christ. And he's our wisdom and he's our strength. And we believe that what he wills is best. We believe and we're resigned to his will being done. And that's our petition. And we can be sure he hears us. And when you're praying for his will to be done, you have the petitions you desire of him. That's what he will do. That's what he will do. And so what do we ask in addition to this? We ask, Lord, would you give me the grace to keep me and sustain me and preserve me in whatever it is your will is. I'm going to need his grace to persevere, trusting him, whatever his will is, whatever it is. And so then by that grace, by that sustaining grace, when he brings his will to pass, when you've asked whatever you will, said, Lord, thy will be done. And he gives you what his will is. If it's painful and it's troubling and whatever it is, this is what we say. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. There's a whole lot of just not being resigned to God's will. When we don't like how things are, we just trust his will. Now, Christ says, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, what do you will? What does he will? Well, he tells us in our text that his will is that we abide in him. Is that not his will? He said, he abide in me. So we ask, Father, keep me abiding in you. Father, keep me abiding in you. Keep my brethren abiding in you, remaining in you, not departing from you, continuing in you, abiding in you. Don't let us depart from you. His will is that his words abide in us. So we ask, Father, keep your words abiding in me. Keep me obeying your word. Make your word life to me so that I truly not only will to keep your word, but give me the strength to keep it and the ability to keep it. Produce this fruit in me and do this in my brethren. Do this in those that are yours, Lord. Grow us in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Produce this fruit in me. That's what our prayer is. Do you pray that? Produce this fruit in me. And produce this fruit in my brethren. Lord, make us give all diligence. Add to our faith virtue. For those that don't have faith, give faith. And increase faith. And add to our faith virtue. That's his will. Do you think he'll answer that? Add to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Lord, make us abound that we be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Christ is declaring his will is. And if we come to the Father in him asking this, Lord, your will be done. This is what he's pleased to do. Have you asked of the Lord and it seemed like he didn't hear you? Because trials came to you and you suffered so much and your brethren, or trials came to your brethren and your brethren started suffering? I've always rejoiced in how when you stand here, the men pray for me and pray the Lord bless me and increase me. And I try to do the same thing for you. And you pray this, and it seemed like the Lord doesn't hear sometimes because all kinds of trouble comes. But the Lord's ways are not our ways, and His ways are far above our ways, and they're far wiser than our ways. He does things as they should be done. The best way, the best time, His way, what's best for His child. What's going on? Remember John Newton's hymn? I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. Haven't you prayed that? I've prayed that so many times, not necessarily in those words, but that's my prayer for you and for me. 'Twas He who taught me thus to pray, and He, I trust, has answered prayer, but it's been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favored hour, at once He'd answer my request, and by His love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. That's what I thought. That's what I'd hoped. Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more with His own hand He seemed intent to aggravate my woe. Crossed all the fair designs I schemed, humbled my heart, and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt Thou pursue Thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy that thou mayest find thy all in me. That's what Christ is declaring in our text. Without me, you can do nothing. So you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Our Lord's going to keep His child knowing He's divine. He's going to keep us knowing that we receive all from His fullness and nowhere else. He's going to keep us knowing He's our peace, and nothing about this world or this flesh is. It's pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. We get all fullness, grace for grace from Him. One old brother wrote this. This is how he put it. Do you desire the grace of the Spirit? Go to your Lord's anointing. Do you seek holiness? Go to His example. It's all from Him. Do you desire pardon of sin? Look to His blood. Do you need mortification of sin? Look to His crucifixion. Do you need to be buried to the world? Go to His tomb. See, you've already been buried. You are dead. Do you want to feel the fullness of a heavenly life? Behold His resurrection. Behold Him seated at God's right hand. Would you rise above the world? Mark His ascension. Would you contemplate heavenly things? Remember Him there at the right hand of God and know that He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. It's all from Him. It's all from Him. Everything given by God our Father is from Christ the Vine. And the purpose of prayer, it's not to change God's will. It's to draw us to our great high priest. For what? To His throne of grace. That we might find grace to help in time of need. You know when you're going to do that? When you have a need. You know when we have a need? When He makes us see Our need is Him. It's to grow us in that knowledge that we need Him and that He's the full provision. It's to make us follow Him more closely. And it's to make us trust our brethren to Him. That's the purpose. Our prayer to Him is of Him, isn't it? It's of His Spirit. He said, the Spirit helps our infirmity. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit makes intercession with groanings that can't be uttered. He searches the hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here's the prayer. Look at Psalm 27. This is the prayer of our Lord. I'm going to close, but here's the prayer of our Lord right here. This is when our Lord went to the cross. And this is the prayer He's going to put in the heart of His child. Psalm 27, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. You ever cried that? Probably when you were diseased, or your spouse was diseased, or your child, or some other thing. You saw it was utterly impossible for you to do anything about it. And you came that way. Well, this is what our Lord prayed on the cross. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's when we do. And here's what he prayed. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And here's the fruit of faith he produces through all this. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. That's so, brethren, when the devil's whispering in you, and your flesh is trying to lie to you and persuade you, and bear false witness against you. Here's the sure word. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Unless I'd done what? Believed. Believed. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's what we'll do. Now, whether He answers our prayer in a pleasant way, or He prunes us, like He said He would, so that we bring forth more fruit and it's painful. This is going to be the sure result. Either way, but when He chastens you, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that are exercised thereby. And what is it? It's between the master and his child. Between the child and the master. And here's what it is. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. He said, abide in me. And my words abide in you. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. If you had thousands of gold and silver sitting right here, and you had God's word sitting right here, which one do you want? Which one do you want? It's His word. Christ the word. And His words are life. Now, I can't see your heart. But if He spoke this to you at any point in your life, and He's continued to speak this to you, and continue to work this in you, then you know. You know. You know. And you abide in Him. And you want nothing more than to abide in Him. And you want His words to abide in you. You want to live unto Him. You know that. That's so. In you who know Him, that's so in your brethren that know Him. And that's what He works. And that's what He alone works. And we trust Him. We trust Him. That's our prayer one for another. Amen.